Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Two young people were recently killed by an alleged drunk driver in Fremont County. Governor Mark Gordon has ordered flags to be flown at half-staff today and tomorrow. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports.
Taylee Dresser and Gregory Trosper Jr. died in a car crash in Riverton last Wednesday. They were in their early 20s and came from families with deep ties to tribal government on the Wind River Reservation. Dresser was the daughter of Northern Arapaho Business Council member Sammy Dresser. She worked in finance for the tribe and was a talented hoop dancer and jingle dress dancer. Trosper was the nephew of Northern Arapaho Business Council co-chair Kimberly Harjo. He was an avid hunter and fisherman and worked in food distribution for the tribe. Wyoming flags will be lowered to half staff in Fremont County and at the Wyoming Capitol for the days of their funerals. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Solar power generated more electricity than coal in the U.S. for the first month on record in May. Experts say the milestone highlights how quickly the nation's energy mix is changing. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel reports.
Solar accounted for nearly 13% of U.S. electricity generation. Coal fell to just over 12%. That's according to new data from energy think tank Ember. Nicholas Foljam is with the group.
Solar power historically has usually been described as a relatively niche power source that works in some applications some of the time. And what this shows is it's now directly on the same level or contrasted with coal power.
Foljam says that shift is evident in the Mountain West, including Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah. He says solar growth is being driven by falling costs and rising energy demand, including from data centers. But this comes as federal policy moves in a different direction on energy. The Trump administration recently announced a plan to spend nearly $700 million to support the coal industry. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The Trump administration continues its push to open more public lands for hunting and fishing. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, that could include new opportunities at several wildlife refuges in our region.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says more than 95% of national refuge lands could be open to hunting after proposed expansions. Sarah Rosa is with the American Conservation Coalition, a conservative nonprofit. She supports the changes and says they better match state hunting rules.
When the seasons are, what species are open to hunt, and so the more that you can align those where it makes sense, I think will make it easier for hunters and fishers to recreate on these lands responsibly.
Sport fishing would be allowed for the first time at spots in Idaho and New Mexico, and big game hunting opened for the first time at Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge in Colorado. That site is controversial as it once held a nuclear weapons plant. There are also expanded hunting opportunities proposed in Wyoming. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Black Canyon Cove campground at Guernsey Reservoir continues to be under a harmful cyanobacteria bloom advisory. There's also an advisory for the shore of the South Warland Pond. Swimming or any similar contact with the water has the potential to make you, pets, or livestock ill. The blooms may be green, tan, brown, or blue-green and can float in or on the water. They often look like spilled paint, clumps, grass clippings, or scum. And a reminder, we're in the midst of our summer fun drive, and Ivy Engel is taking a short break. Around Wyoming should be back on Thursday. Meanwhile, if you want to support public radio in Wyoming, scroll on over to wyomingpublicmedia.org and look for the donate button on the top of the page. Now, here's today's Wyoming trivia question. When did the Wyoming Territorial Prison open? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how many Wyomingites served time in the federal penitentiary on Alcatraz Island? Out of the 1,576 inmates sentenced to Alcatraz, there were just two from Wyoming. Joseph Paul Krester was a bank robber, cop killer, and ringleader of the 1946 Alcatraz Battle of 46 escape attempt. Before that, Kretzer lived and worked as a miner in Rock Creek, Wyoming, and he even managed to rise to number two on the FBI's most wanted list. After his capture, he was transferred to Alcatraz in August of 1940. And John Elgin Johnson, a former Casper bus driver and oil worker, turned to a life of crime. Johnson was sent to the Wyoming State Penitentiary in Rawlins for burglary in 1938, and after subsequent convictions in Kansas, he was transferred to Alcatraz in June of 1944. Congratulations to Diana Cobb, who was the first with a correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.